Here are the two topics that we're going to cover today concerning mothers. What trait of God are mothers specially designed to represent? And then the second question will be, what tend to be the burdens of a mother? Everything is made to glorify God. Glorifying God means to reflect what is true about Him. Jesus did this perfectly, so He could say, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." John 14:9. God's creation has more limited assignments, of course, than the Lord Jesus. They have been given particular features that reflect God's truth. Ants, self-governing preparation for the future, right? "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, who having no overseer, no leader, does what is right in preparation for the tough time to come." Voles represent strength to serve. Those cherubim with the four faces, one of the faces is of a bull. We think this is how Jesus is represented in the Gospel of Mark, which we are going through now. That being his side, that he is strong to serve. He goes about as a servant. That's what a bull represents. Clouds, of course, represent transience. "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." Deer represent a few things, but the heart in the book of Habakkuk, of course, represents sure-footedness in dangerous conditions. Thou hast made my feet like hinds' feet, Habakkuk says. Doves represent mournful innocence. Fire, purification. Light, revelation. Mountains, stability. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. "Therefore will not we fear, for the mountains fall in the midst of the sea." Those most stable elements of our culture, if they were to crash, still we would be all right. Sand, of course, represents stunningly large numbers. God's thoughts toward us are more numerous than there are grains of sand. Stars represent height, sea, depth. Sheep, quiet submission. Behold the Lamb of God. Wind represents power understood by its impact. Where is the wind? Well, you can't see the wind, but you see what the wind does to things. Even so is the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit moving? Look at who is being moved by the Holy Spirit. What of mothers? Yes, God has also specially designed roles for people to represent who He is. Fathers represent protection, provision, and planning. Husbands are to be the greatest illustration on earth of the love of Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Wives represent meek and quiet submission, which is in the sight of God of great price. Sons and daughters, what is your particular assignment at this stage in life? At home, it is to honor authorities. A person who is in the home as a son or a daughter doesn't get to exercise much authority, but gets lots of opportunity to submit to authority. And you learn a lot as far as what that looks like. Brothers and sisters, forbearing love. All these idiosyncrasies that you had to bear up with your sisters, with your brothers. Babies. I have calmed and quieted my soul as a babe weaned of its mother, the psalmist says. Babies represent restful peace. And what of mothers? Mothers are the best illustration and instruction in life, in comfort. Yes, mothers are the greatest and most understandable illustration of comfort. We read in Isaiah 66 in verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." If you think about the nation of Israel, all the travesties they went through for all that length of time, death and suffering and conquering and fighting and failure and rising again, the Lord looks to the future for the nation of Israel and says, "I will comfort you." How much? As a mother. Oh, as a mother, the highest illustration there is of comfort. Let's start with the definition of comfort. The dictionary defines comfort as to strengthen the mind when depressed, to console, to give new vigor to the spirits, to relieve from depression or trouble, to cheer, to encourage. The Hebrew word translated comfort in the Old Testament is nakam. And our Hebrew dictionary tells us that word means to sigh or breathe strongly. It implies to pity, to console because one feels sorry and empathizes. Used to describe the comfort offered to Jacob upon the loss of his dear son whom he loved so much, Joseph. He was offered comfort, nakam. We find it also in what was sent to Hanan upon the death of his father. You might remember Hanan, the son of an Ammonite king. King David learned of the death of the king, and he sent messengers to comfort Hanan, the son. Third time that that word is used in the Old Testament is the comfort offered to Job on the loss of his family, his health, and his wealth. In the New Testament, there are three Greek words that are translated comfort. First one is paraklesis, from which we get the word paraklete, which of course is a description of the Holy Spirit, one who is called beside one's side. One's presence gives strength to endure trials. I think I've shared with you that when my father passed away, it was a very grieving time for me for a number of reasons, but there was a man whom I respected, who was my counselor, who stood behind me. Didn't ever say anything, but he was just there. And I remember the comfort that that was. Paramatheia means to speak near someone. Intimate tenderness is expressed in words. I think of Fanny Crosby, where she says, "Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me." Speaking near someone. Paragoria, which means to provide soothing solace by addressing someone and hence having specific knowledge of him. I probably have told some of you the story, but my mother passed away here about a year ago. A very sad time for me. She was 91. But she knew me as probably nobody else did. I remember one time she told me whatever I would do, she believed I would stick with it through to the end. And she gave me the story when I was a little boy taking swimming lessons, and to pass the final exam, we had to stay in the water over our heads for half hour, hour, treading water, whatever. And I was the little kid out there, and she saw my head bob down, but she knew I would never give up. I remember her telling me that story. Of course, that goes back probably close to 50 or more years, over 50 years. But it's still a comfort to me. Mothers are a comfort. So that's the definition. Let's go to the application. To help mothers gain clarity as to their role and to help children appreciate their mother's contributions. Question: what are the burdens of a mother? I have read the answers and I've listed them in order of priority. Many mothers have answered this, and I'm not saying this is the same for everyone. I don't want anybody to feel bad or intimidated or any other thing. Just giving you the results of the polls. They list as their number one burden that they would have a good marriage relationship. What is more comforting to children at home than to see a father and mother who love each other, who are in agreement, and work as a team? A mother cares because she knows her children are observing and learning, a fact which leads to a second burden. The spiritual tenor of her children. Particularly, a mother may desire the comfort in her children that comes from purity and character. We see those themes repeatedly in the Proverbs. Fathers and mothers counseling children to respect and pursue purity and character. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not, the scriptures say. What is the heaviness of a mother? A foolish child, we read in Proverbs 10 and verse 1. No, mothers desire the comfort in their children that comes from purity and character. A third burden, her children's life calling. Parents know the value of these souls in their care, that they are the workmanship of God. Oh, for children to find God's plan for them. Their pursuit of God's will can be agonizing. Mother comforts through the pursuit. And there is this bittersweet challenge of investing so much, defining self by these flesh and blood attachments, yet laboring in a way to work oneself out of a job by rearing independent, capable souls. And a fourth burden, I think I only have four listed here, instilling love for home and family. Mothers want their children comforted by a sense of belonging, security, acceptance, and friendship. They want sons and daughters to have fond memories of home. Good food, order, beauty, inspiring music, laughter, support, happiness, hospitality, instruction, worship, and godliness. Finally, some words of counsel. Mothers are the greatest human source of comfort ever created by God. Mothers reflect what we read in 2 Corinthians 1:3, the God of all comfort. So be thankful for your mother. Live a life that brings her honor. Understand her burdens. Meet her expectations. I looked up some quotations about mothers. I'd like to share a few with you. First one I found was this: a mother understands what a child does not say. How many of us men say to our wives, what's going on here? And they'll tell you what the child did not say but is going on. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Can I hear an amen? In the eyes of its mother, this is a proverb from India. In the eyes of its mother, every beetle is a gazelle. A lady wrote this. I didn't recognize the name. She said, motherhood is the greatest privilege of life. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has had a godly mother. Had this saying attributed to a number of writers of such wisdom. The mother's heart is her child's classroom. Youth fades, love droops, the leaves of friendship fall. A mother's secret love outlives them all. And finally, the child in the decisive first years of his life has the experience of his mother as an all-enveloping, protective, nourishing power. Mother is food. She is love. She is warmth. She is earth. To be loved by her means to be alive, to be rooted, to be home. And I'd like to read this short poem for you. It's entitled My Mother, author unknown. She carried me under her heart, loved me before I was born, took God's hand in hers, and walked through the valley of shadows that I might live. Bathed me when I was helpless, clothed me when I was naked, gave me warm milk from her own body when I was hungry, rocked me to sleep when I was weary, pillowed me on pillows softer than down, and sang to me in the voice of an angel. Held my hand when I learned to walk, suffered with my sorrow, laughed with my joy, glowed with my triumph, and while I knelt at her side, she taught my lips to pray. Through all the days of my youth, she gave strength for my weakness, courage for my despair, and hope to fill my hopeless heart. Was loyal when others failed, was true when tried by fire, was my friend when other friends were gone. Prayed for me through all the days, when flooded with sunshine or saddened by shadows. Loved me when I was unlovely, and led me into man's estate to walk triumphant on the king's highway and play a manly part. Though we lay down our lives for her, we can never pay the debt we owe to a Christian mother. Lights, please. I'd just like to say in closing that though we are heralding mothers today, that's not the end of it all, but a means to the end of honoring our God, who is the God of all comfort. Fortis is the Latin word for power, strength, and comings with, to give strength, to give support, to raise up and hold up and give the person what is necessary to move on, to excel, and to be. It is God who is the God of all comfort. The Bible tells us that by nature we are sinners, born sinners. That's our nature. And then we choose to be sinners. By nature and by choice we are sinners. And as such, we are separated from the comfort of God. We are made to have fellowship with God, but we are separated from Him because of our sins. And the Bible says with great clarity that none of us can scrub ourselves clean. Who can say he has made himself clean, the scriptures say? And the answer is no one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And there is no help at all within ourselves to restore ourselves to God. It is a helpless condition. Perhaps you have tried this. Perhaps you have tried that. Repent of these things. Ask forgiveness for those things. Stop doing these bad things. Start doing these good things. But the Bible says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, that we are saved by faith, not of works. There's no good deed that we can do that can lead us to salvation. No, it is not what we need to do. It is what Christ has already done. And He has died for our sins. All of our guilt has been laid upon a substitute. And God was pleased to judge our sins in a substitute, that they need not be judged in us. But we need to finalize the transaction. We need to look in faith at what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ. All our guilt, all our sins, all our burdens laid upon Him, judged in Him, and by His stripes we are made whole. But you must look to Christ and believe on Him. You must look to Jesus Christ and believe He died for my sins. Call upon Him. Don't wait, as we're just saying, don't wait till you clean yourself up. All you need to do is to look to Christ. Believe on Him. As many as received Him, He gave power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on His name. Oh, to know the comfort of God, to know one is completely accepted into the arms of the Creator, that He has forgotten all of our sins, all of our iniquities. They are all removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And now we can be received holy, without blemish, forever in the presence of God. That is the great comfort. That is the comfort that's offered to everyone here. If there's a man or a woman here, a boy or a girl who does not know this and knows the guilt that comes with being an unforgiven sinner, today could be the day when you receive Christ as your Savior and all that sin washed away. Amen? How many here know what that's like? To have the guilt removed, to find the comfort that was availed all that time but needed to be acquired through faith in Christ. Would you come to Christ today? I can think of no better way to herald and memorialize Mother's Day than for a person here to come to Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a final hymn here. Give me a moment to move back down there and Ben to come up here. And then if there's somebody, in fact, why don't we pray now if the Lord would move somebody to come to Christ, that they would do so here at the end of the service. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Oh, to come to a God who knows all of our sorrow, all of our imperfections, all of our failures, all of our aspirations and dreams, and still loves us with thoughts more numerous than there are grains of sand, and would have us to come to Him. Father, we would ask if Thy Spirit would to be moving in this room today. There's a woman here, a mother perhaps, or a man, or a boy, or a girl, who as yet is separated from God, but could come to God today through faith in Jesus Christ, have all sins washed away. Would you please move in that heart today? Would you please move in that heart today to bring that person forward to say, today I receive Christ as my Savior. Today I believe God has loved me and has comfort availed to me if I would but just believe on His Son that He died for my sins. Now, friends, while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I'm just going to ask, I don't normally do this, not regularly, but I will today. Is there somebody for whom that prayer represents the disposition of your heart? Have you never received Christ, but today you would? Man, woman, boy, girl, would you just raise your hand and lower it? Today I come to Jesus Christ as my Savior. Most important decision you can make in life. More important than anything else, because it determines your eternity. Will you come to Him today? Just raise your hand and lower it if you would. Not that that saves you, but it's an indication, outward indication of an inward disposition. And we'll go from there. Anybody? Our Father, have Thine own way. God bless our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.